lengthy text here, so, you know, don't fall asleep on me. Ready? Here we go. Rejoice evermore. Pastor, would you please pray over this? Amen. I'd like to take this rather lengthy text and preach on an even longer message sermon entitled, Up. Rejoice evermore. Why is this such an important statement? You could essentially say it's a two-word sermon. All right, Nathan, that's what I was hoping for. Short and sweet. Why is it so important that we rejoice evermore? And how is it that you display that you're rejoicing? Well, part of it could be reflected in your countenance. Some of us have a serious, somber, sober attitude. And that may just be how you are. That's good. That's fine. But occasionally, it wouldn't hurt you. Your face probably won't crack if you allow the corners of your mouth to go in an upward inclination. Just occasionally. Now, you can't go around being happy, joyful, on top of the world all the time. Well, you probably could. But there's times, seasons, ups and downs, you know. I mean, we're talking about the up here tonight. But I remember when I was in the Marine Corps in basic training, I had a rather traumatic experience the first time I went up 30 feet up a rope. Because I went up pretty slow, but I came down really fast. So when I came down from 30 feet up in the air, to say it lightly, my feet hit the ground about shoulder width apart, and then my forehead hit the ground between my feet. I snapped back up. Stars and stripes, you know, and blue, you know, the drone instructors picked me up. You know, they were like all screaming at me, you know, smoky bears everywhere, and they're screaming at me, what are you doing? Where's the fire? And one of them reached down and picked me up by the front of my shirt and stood me up. How many fingers am I holding up? And I said, two. He said, close enough. Run over there. So I ran over there. I'm pretty sure I couldn't even see his hand, but I was over there, and I was like, at least he stopped screaming at me kind of thing. And one of them came over to me and said, let me see your hands. I said, sir? He said, recruit? Your hands, let me see them. So I turned my hands over like that, and he goes, you're going to medical. And I looked down at my hands, and then I felt like I needed to go to medical because I'm pretty sure I could see bone in my hands because I held onto the rope while I was going down that fast. It was pretty scary. I couldn't really feel them. There wasn't anything there. It was ugly. But the second time that I went up that rope, it went up pretty smooth. And I came back down, and everybody's running and shouting and screaming and doing all their Marine Corps motivation stuff. And I got down to the rope, and one of the same drill instructors who had screamed at me before when I had that traumatic experience was standing there. And I came down off the rope, and he looked at me kind of expectantly. And I went, hoorah. He goes, oh yeah, you sure sound motivated, son. But I was so relieved that I didn't fall that time. And I was very happy. And I didn't scream, hoorah. I said, hoorah. I'm just so happy that I'm on all tore up again. Yay! Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'm just going to use that first part of the scripture because it is so important to understand this. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're up, guess what? You're up. If you're down, you're down. So, When you begin to believe that you are up and that you are happy and that you are full of joy, guess what happens? That's what you are. And wouldn't you rather be up than down? I'm telling you what, from the top of that rope, you can see a long ways from 30 feet up in the air. Just don't fall from that height. That's all. That's all. Little word of advice. The people allow other people to put things in their mind and their heart. Oh, you're such a loser. You're the worst. That's okay. As long as it doesn't stick here. As long as it doesn't stick here. As long as those words don't stick. Oh, you're just a druggie. You're a pitiful pervert. You just whatever. And people say all kinds of derogatory things toward other people. And really, they had a phrase in the Marine Corps that I'm going to use now. It was called water off a duck's back. Water off a duck's back. Because you learn really quickly that if you're going to be disturbed by somebody getting in your face and telling you all kinds of bad things about yourself, you're not going very far. You are going to stand there trembling and shaking with such distress that you won't be able to accomplish anything. So, they tell you, let it be like water off a duck's back. And just let it roll right off. You ever seen water on a duck's back? Anybody ever seen a waterfowl up close? Doesn't sink in, doesn't soak in. I spilled something on my tie and it sunk right in. Got a good little stain on my tie just before I left for church tonight. But if this was a duck's back and that had been water, it would have hit there, it would have beat it up, just fell right off. Duck would have shuffled itself and it would have been completely dry. So when people say these things about you, negative things, derogatory things, what should you do? Shake yourself. Let it go right on by. No big deal. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So you should begin thinking other things. We are the champions, my friend. We'll keep on fighting till the end. You big fan of Queen? No, I am not. But that's an anthem of people that overcome. People who fight, people who persevere. Overcomer. I am an overcomer. I am better than I have been. I will do better. Success. I am a success. Yes, I struck out the last time I was at bat, but this time is going to be different. I am going to succeed. I am going to go up there with confidence, and I am going to give it my best, and I will succeed. And guess what? Unless you have that attitude, it's impossible to succeed. If you don't believe that you can, you will not even try. You won't. Do you believe that you can achieve financial success? No. You're right. You will never achieve financial success. Do you believe that you can scale Mount Everest? No. You will never even try to scale Mount Everest. And I don't think you should. I think scaling Mount Everest is tempting fate. Don't do that. I was just throwing out an example. But as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Romans 14, 1 and 2 says, him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not unto doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So, if you're weak, you eat vegetarian style. And if you eat vegetarian style, you're going to be weak. That's not really what he was saying. What he was saying was, those that are weak in their faith, they are weak in their belief, and they don't want to offend, and they don't want to be offensive, they don't eat meat. The weakness here is an excessive religious observance. We are so bound by wanting to conform and please everybody that we only do this certain thing. We only do this. And why is that? Because that's well-pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul wasn't saying that at all. He was saying they're weak. And then he goes on. Let not him that eateth despise him that eats not, and let not him which eateth judge him. He's saying don't judge them that eat, and the ones that don't eat, don't judge those that eat. Don't look at them and say, well, I'm not like those. They're over there eating a ham sandwich. We don't eat ham sandwiches. That's against the law of God. You've never had a ham sandwich? It's pretty good. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? Is that person eating the ham sandwich a man of God? A woman of God? Oh, if they were a real Bible-believing man or woman of God, they'd stop eating celery and broccoli. Throw down on some steak. Big old hot dog. Some meat. Some strong meat. To his own master he standeth or falleth. So if they're gods, let God deal with it. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. God is able. God is able. God is able. You ever get the can't happens? I can't help it. Just can't help it. It's just too much for me. I just can't help it.
You never heard that, brother? Can't help it. I have.
I just can't help myself. I'm just so weak. I'm just so overcome by things. Oh, I'm so miserable.
When you get a case of the can't help it, remember, God is able. You may not be able, but God is able. He is able to hold up his servant and make them stand. God is able. Romans 9, 20 through 23 says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say it to him that formed it? Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of some lump, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had aforetime prepared unto glory. You see, preacher, you see, God made me a vessel of dishonor. It's not my fault. I can't help it. It's just the way it is. God made me this way. Why should I even try? God made me a vessel. And he made me a vessel fitted for destruction. First Thessalonians 4:4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. No, come on, preacher. God made me a vessel. He made me just as I am. And he knows that I am a vessel of dishonor. He made me this way. But, I see words in these couple verses here talking about vessels. It says, know, and purge, and possess. You mean that there are things that a vessel can do for itself? That will make it a vessel of honor? That's kind of what it seems to be saying. You can't just profess
that you are a Christian. You can't just say, oh, I'm a goody two-shoes. Or you can't say, I'm a vessel. I'm just a poor, broken pottery vessel. I'm just so weak and I just can't help it. You can't be that way. Because if you profess that, you will possess it. But you cannot simply profess Christ. You must possess Him. You must live Him. You must allow Him to make you a vessel unto honor. And from these scriptures, as Pastor was saying this morning, there's a part that you have to play. Yes, God made us all vessels. Yes, we are all some from the same lump of clay. We're kind of talking about it on the way to church tonight. What was the phrase that Faith used? A purebred African-American. I said, a what? A purebred African-American. She was trying to declare that somebody was of true African descent and not, you know, of mixed whatever. But I was like, honey, you're a human. You're a purebred human. There isn't a single such thing as nobody who is... Wait, you're half human? Are you half American? Are you what? What are you? I was like, that is just such a wrong phrase, a wrong way of thinking. Right? So, I'm a vessel. I have been made, and I am what I am, and I can't change it. Up. What are you talking about? How about up? No. Purge. Possess. Don't allow what anybody else has ever said about you or to you determine what you are. And sometimes people don't even have to say things. You begin to look at yourself and go, I'm going to use a personal anecdote. On the baseball trip, we went down, the Arcata High team, I went down with them. The second team that they played was Richmond, down in Richmond. Oh man, we drove through some rough parts of town to get to this private preparatory academy. And it had gates on the front of it. And you imagine we're in a kind of rough neighborhood, right? And then all of a sudden you roll up to this gate. The gate opens. And inside is this college-like campus where everything's perfectly manicured. There are statues. There are tennis courts. It looks, wow. These people really care about things. It's a private preparatory academy, so they get to recruit the best athletes into their athletic program. And the Arcata High players, they got out of their van and started looking around. And the team must have been close to 30 people. And they all seemed to be of a large stature. I mean, there were some smaller players, but most of them looked... kind of intimidating. And you could almost see in the Arcata High players, like, this isn't going to go good for us, guys. One of the younger players who came over to the backstop, and I was like directly behind the backstop watching the game, and he said something like, I think this is going to be a shouting contest. Because the other dugout was fired up from the get-go. They were yelling and shouting encouragement to their players on the field, and there were a whole bunch of them down, you know, a big team. Large numbers, large people. They were yelling and shouting, and they had nicknames for each other and all that stuff. And pretty soon, the Arcata High kids started doing the same thing. There was a whole lot less of them. They weren't as practiced at it. And I looked at that young man, I said, that's right. It's going to be about intensity. Said, you can yell and shout and scream and not be intense. You can say nothing and be intense. But it's really hard to be enthusiastic and fired up and not start to have a little bit of enthusiasm and intensity? It is impossible. Impossible. Oh, come on. You knew people who faked the funk when you were in the Marine Corps. Yes, I knew people who faked the funk when I was in the Marine Corps. They yelled and shouted, hoorah, way, we're so happy to be here. And you knew they were lying through their teeth, or tooth, as it may have been. They were just trying to get that drill instructor off their back. But it was really, really hard to display enthusiasm vocally. Intensity begins to build. You start to have it. You must have that. You must be up. Arcadia beat that other team, by the way. Yeah. They didn't have a scoreboard working, so parents would walk up to this game going on and say, how much are we winning by? What's the score? They were losing the whole game. Arcadia beat them 6-2. It really wasn't even that close. It was intense. All the way through. But every single parent that walked up there would ask, how much are we winning by? What's the score? Because they all expected to win. They never believed they were out of it. Fortunately, the Arcadia High kids didn't believe they were out of it either. Up! Up! Romans 14, 6-8 says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he gives thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and he gives thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Christians have something to be excited about. You have something to be up about. If you believe the Bible, and you believe all the things that the Bible has to say about you, you should not be down. Yes, but I climbed to the greatest heights, and I fell hard. Learn not to do that again. When you're up at the greatest heights, don't lose your footing. It's a long, hard fall. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even if you stumble and fall in the alleyway leaving church. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this gravel that just barked up my knee. I am so glad, Lord, that nobody saw me. Oh. Was that directed? Possibly, just a little bit. Having fun with it, though. Nathan, you're getting all in Pastor Sunday morning teaching right here. I can't help it. I was sitting there, I was listening to Pastor speak this morning. I was like, oh, that's preachable. That's it right there. Can't help it. That's the message right there. Oh, you could help it if you wanted to, Nathan. I don't want to help it. I want to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pastor covered that this morning, Nathan. Yes, I know. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean that you walk around praying all the time? Oh, Lord, thank you, Father, for these fans. Oh, look for this beautiful sunshine and this green carpet. Oh, I love you, Lord. And you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But if you're walking along and you encounter somebody who's in a wretched state, Lord, help them. God, help me. Oh, Lord, how do I deal with this? God, give me strength. pray without ceasing. I was reminded, I really liked Fleetwood Mac when I was young. And then there was a young man who ran for president. He was the governor of Arkansas. His name was Bill Clinton. And he was a big fan of Fleetwood Mac, right? So like at their campaign rallies, they would always have Fleetwood Mac there, and they'd all be singing this song. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. And I liked that song. It was a Fleetwood Mac song. Yeah. And yesterday's gone, yesterday's gone. And you'd see Bill and Hillary and Chelsea, and they'd be dancing, and you know, and they were getting in the mood. Everyone, woo-hoo-hoo. For years, I didn't like Fleetwood Mac. I couldn't stand their voice. But I still like that song. I do. Pray without ceasing. And don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me, I press forward. Going forward. Forget about it. All about it. It ain't over till it's over. First Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Ooh. I think I feel a move of God. Oh, that's just so exciting. Wow, that just really moves me. I'm so moved, I'm going to sit right here. Do nothing. I'm just in that place. Quench not the spirit. Well, that was a little dramatic, Nathan. Yes, it was dramatic. But you know what? It felt good. There are times when you want to leap and shout and praise God. And
the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Yes, I know that.
But is there ever a time when it's okay to react in a positive light? And there are times when you don't want to react in a positive light or in any kind of light. I remember I got into the habit of just vocally rebuking the devil.
Get thee behind me, Satan!
The Bible says, stand firm in the face of the devil, resist him, rebuke him, and he will flee from you. It says that. It says that. So I got in the habit of saying, get thee behind me, Satan. One time I was standing in line at the convenience store and something happened, you know, thought came through my mind. Get thee behind me, Satan. And I heard this woman behind me go, I don't know whether she thought I was talking to her or what. She was like aghast, like, and I was so tickled and a little embarrassed, like, oh, wow, I wish I hadn't done that. But if you're around me for very long, you'll hear me talk to myself all the time.
Think, Nathan. Focus. Think. How are you going to get through this, Nathan? Come on. Get it done.
My daughter, Faith, she was laughing at me the other day. I was sitting at the computer doing something. And I kept saying, think, Nathan. Think. She's like, okay, think. Think. I'm not the only person who does that. There was a baseball player by the name of Ricky Henderson. People said he was like famous for it. He'd be in the batter's box in front of 45,000 fans, and he'd be talking to himself nonstop. Keep your hands back, Ricky. Kick your hands back. Keep your hands back, Ricky. Wait on it. Let it travel. Let it travel. Let it travel. Bam! And then he'd be running like, don't stop. It was nonstop, and he was famous for stealing bases. He was a high energy guy, and I was like, wow, he don't care who's watching. He's going to play with everything he's got. And if he feels like he needs encouragement, guess who he took upon? He didn't wait for somebody else to encourage Ricky Henderson. He would encourage Ricky Henderson.
hey Ricky, do this. Hey Ricky, do that. Come on Ricky, here we go, here we go, here we go.
Do you ever embarrass yourself, Nathan?
Yes, I am. Okay.
Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
Are you getting it all? No, no. I'm leaving some of it for Pastor. I know.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things.
Was he telling them to be skeptical? Yes, perhaps a little bit. But really what he was saying was, put it into action. Test it. If somebody tells you that you should be up and that you should be victorious and that you should be an overcomer, don't take their word for it. Prove it. Try it. Give it a shot. Could something else been working for you? I don't know. I can tell you from personal experience, though, that when you're up, beautiful place. Yes, I can get down on my face before God and wallow in my self-pity. And yes, God will reach down and dig you out of the mud. But why do you want to stay down there? God is able to pick you up and to help you stand. He is able.
I don't believe it, Nathan. Test it. Try it. See if it doesn't work for you. If it doesn't, tell me that the Bible's lying. Oh, okay, okay. The Bible says that you can do these things. The Bible says that God is able. All things are possible to them that believe. Didn't Jesus say something like that? If you believe in me, all things are possible. All things. Wow.
First Thessalonians 5:25, and I'm getting close to wrapping it up.
I know, I promised a short sermon and all that. Well, I'm a short guy, so even if I preach long, it's still a short sermon, right?
First Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us.
Wow, Paul was being pretty brief. All of these verses are that long.
And if you take this and couple it with verse 17 where it said, pray without ceasing, he says, brethren, pray for us. It's almost like Paul was saying, brethren, pray for us without ceasing. Don't stop praying for us.
Man, Paul sure was being selfish. Look at that. He was trying to take up all their time praying for him. Man, that Paul guy, he was either so self-centered or so weak that he really needed all those people to be praying for him without ceasing.
Well, perhaps Paul was acknowledging that he relied upon God. And that Paul was saying, I have not yet arrived, my brethren. I still need God. And I still covet your prayers. Pray for me, Paul was saying. And as you pray, without ceasing, remember me in your prayers.
First Thessalonians 5:27. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Don't stop sharing God's word. Don't do it. He was saying, you received this for yourself, that's good. I'm glad that you read this. This is pretty close to the end of his epistle to the Thessalonians. He said, don't just read it for yourself. Don't just keep it for yourself. Don't just live it yourself. Share it with all the holy brethren.
Well, Nathan, what about the unholy brethren?
Well, what about the unholy? What? He said unholy. that with the holy brethren, and the brethren we know that they're holy, some of them. And what about the people who aren't brethren or holy? Well, should we share it with them? Second Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Where are the unholy brethren? If you are a brother, your holiness isn't yours. It's his. You become his righteousness when he was made sin for you. Well, what if they're not brethren? Share it with them. Maybe they'll become brethren or sister in whichever they are. What have you been preaching about, Nathan? Up. Up. Why? Because up is a whole lot better position than down. It is. Yes, you get in the valley and you look toward the mountain height and you see the Jesus there leading in the fight. The tender hand outstretched toward the valley low. And all the other hymns that we sung through the years. Yes. But if you could choose between being up and being down, where would you choose to be? Up. And it is a choice. I know it's a secular thing, but it's very wise. I have it on my Facebook page, is my quote. Life is 5% chance. 5% that you have no control whatsoever over. You can't change where you were born. You can't change the circumstances that you were born into. You can't change the fact that you're going to die. And people say, well, death and income taxes. Well, you can choose not to pay income taxes. Did you know that? You can. In about 5 years, they'll come and get you, and you'll spend a long time in prison. But you can make that choice. It's up to you completely. So life is 5% chance that you have no control whatsoever over. And 95% how you react to that 5% you have no control over. That's absolutely, positively true. This word is life. It is an abundance of encouragement. It is an abundance of power. You can do all things. You can be anything. You can go anywhere. You have tremendous liberty. You have untold power. You are a joint heir with Christ. You have all the power and the promises of God. Well, and you're just a man. You are a man grafted into the family of God. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, he said, if you have a child and they ask you bread, you give them a stone? You don't give bad gifts to your kids. You think your heavenly Father is not just a little bit better at being a father than you are? He'll give you all the gifts. In the right time, in the proper season, if you ask for them the right way and in the right spirit. What's the conclusion of all this? In 1 Thessalonians 5:28, he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." If the struggle's too much, you're overcome by all the things, in conclusion, grace. And then as Pastor said this morning, he wasn't signing off. What did he say? So be it. So be it. When you fall, get back up.
Learn what it was that caused you to fall and avoid it. Don't do it again. Some of us are hard learners. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Pastor.